book Leviticus. It is probably the last book that you would want to read, because it seems like it's all about offerings and rituals and sacrifices and the Day of Atonement. And we think it is the most boring book of the Bible. But what was the fact that I told you when we started on the study of Leviticus? For the Jewish children, the book of Leviticus is the first book that they studied. It's the first book that they studied, because it was that important for them to understand certain concepts about God, right? So they wouldn't even have the Jewish children start with what's the first book of the Bible? Genesis. They wouldn't even have them start at Genesis. We would think we started Genesis. No, they actually started in Leviticus, because it was that important for them to have these concepts about God, right? So we've been on this study. What we looked at 2 weeks ago is we asked this question: where have you seen or used the word holy? Okay, what's the word holy in Chinese? 圣洁, right? Where do we use that word holy? 圣洁, where do we use it? Where do we say? We hear that word, we use that word where? Give me some places. In the Bible.
Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. What else? Come on. In songs. We hear it in songs. A lot of times when we hear it in the songs or we read it in the Bible, it's repeated how many times?
Three
times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God Almighty. Okay? So we see it in the Bible. We sing it in songs. Where else do we see the word holy? In the sermons, okay? In classes. Someone said they see it in the front of the Bible. Right, so Jan has a Bible. You can show us the front of your Bible. What does it say? The Holy Bible, right? So when we see and we think about the word holy, we have all types of concepts. And so when you guys think about the word holy, what is the concepts you think about? When we say 圣洁, when we say holy, what's an idea that comes to your mind? Shout it out. Healer? Pure. Pure. Purity. Pure means what? What does pure mean?
Clean.
Clear. Pure means there's an absence or there is no
sin.
Sin. Okay, great. I was going to say pure as in like pure chocolate or pure gold. There's no impurity, that's the word. If it's pure, there's no impurity. Very good. Right? Use a definition in the word, but that's good. That's the word I was looking for. And so when they are burning a pure gold, when you melt gold in order to get pure gold, what do?
Refine it.
They refine it, which means they have to what?
Remove the impurity.
Right. How do they do that?
Heat.
They have to do it by heat. You have to get gold to such a temperature that all of the impurities, the other elements in gold, will boil up to the top, right? And the element of gold is heavy. It stays on the bottom. And when you keep burning it at that temperature, all the impurities of the gold can either be scraped off or it will be burned off, right? So once you have all the impurities burned off, there's a seat right here if you want to. Okay, that's fine. Anywhere you want. Once you have the impurities burned off, now you have purity. Okay, so that's a good concept of holy, pure. So if we're talking about gold, now we're talking about sin. Some people in the back said purity is the absence of sin. There is no sin. All right, okay, so we have that concept. Good. What's another concept we have of holiness?
Godliness.
Godliness. Okay, godliness. Like God. What does that mean? What does godliness mean? What does it mean that it's like God? Okay, morally high. Okay, good. What else? When we think about the word pure, okay, so now we have three ideas. Holy, we have pure, we have godly, we have morally elevated, morally high. What's morals, right? Morals like your ethics, like you don't do wrong, you don't do bad. There's an absence of bad, absence of sin. Okay, good. Anything else to add for the word holy? So when Jan has the Holy Bible, what does that mean? That's a pure Bible? That's a Bible without sin? What does that mean? That's a holy Bible. It's a book without sin?
The Lord's Word.
Okay, so holy, set apart. Okay, now we're getting into some different words. What does set apart mean? Well, I set apart my coffee to drink. What does that mean? What is set apart? That's a great definition. Like, explain that a little bit. Like, flesh that out.
Sunday school answer.
Yeah, it's a Sunday school answer. What is set apart? I love that we have an answer, but we don't know what it means. Okay? Okay, Milton just gave a Sunday school answer. Where did you learn that? How old were you?
Oh, 10.
10 years old. He learned that holy means set apart. That means we should all know that holy means set apart. What does that mean, set apart? Take time in a little group and talk. What does, if holy means set apart, what do you think it means to be set apart? Jan's Bible says the Holy Bible. Is that set apart? Now, all the children, how many of you have heard the word for holy, set apart? Yeah? Set apart. Okay, so talk about it then. Zhen Ying is a Sunday school teacher. She probably taught it before. Little children, holy means set apart. So she must have a very good answer for us. Right? I'm just kidding. So talk in your groups. Think a little bit. What does set up? What would set apart mean? Okay, for holy. Okay, so holy, set apart. Let's get some ideas. There's no right answer. Everyone's struggling a little bit. That's okay. That's what Sunday school is for, right? Or this class is for us to work through ideas. Holy is a concept. It's all over the Bible. It's not only in the front of the Bible. Well, it's not on this one. This Bible's not holy. It doesn't say that it's holy. Let me see if my Bible actually says it's holy. My Bible does not say holy either. That one says holy. Oh, yeah, this side. Let me see. Holy Bible. Yes, I have a holy Bible too. Okay. So we see the word holy. We sing the word holy. We have some ideas. Someone just created a big problem in this class and said holy means set apart, which it actually does. Okay, because that's in the Greek word. It's like to be set apart. Okay, but now we all know, we've heard that before, set apart, but if we don't understand, then let's not use words that we don't understand, because that's what happens in church a lot of times, right? We use words, and we're like, we don't even know what we're talking about. Let's try to wrestle through it a little bit. So let's start with this group. The guy who said that holy means to be set apart, he's right. But what does it mean to be set apart? What's an idea? Just give one idea. We're going to go around every group.
I mean, like, dedicated for a purpose.
Okay, set apart means to be dedicated for a purpose. For instance, I got this nice new mug from Dr. Wong in the back, okay? Dr. Wong gave me this mug because I was using his at the retreat. I didn't have one, and so he gave it to me. Okay, I put some stickers on it so I don't like, mistake it for anybody else's. I asked him, I've been using this for water, it's great, all weekend at the co-workers retreat. I said, I was wondering, should I save it for only use for water, or should I use it for coffee? Should I dedicate this for coffee or for water, right? I'm setting it apart. So it's not going to be used for juice. It will not be used for soup. No way. Okay? Because some Chinese people will use this for soup. Right? Not me. I decided to not even use it for water. I'm using it for my hot coffee. It's dedicated. And I said I was going to use it. Dr. Wong says, use it for both. I use it for both. I said, I told Bex, I'm going to use it for both. I mean, Dr. Wong said it. He's a doctor. He knows the best. I could use it for coffee and water. She says, no, no. Because when you drink water, you will taste the coffee. She said, you have to dedicate it for coffee. Okay, I said, okay, fine. It's dedicated for coffee. It's not for water use. Is that what it means to be set apart? Kind of? Yes, right? It's dedicated now for coffee. Good. Next group. It's a different level to be set apart. Dr. Wong gave me a nice mug, okay? Dr. Wong, are these cheap mugs? They are not cheap mugs, okay? They're not cheap mugs. It's a brand with an elephant called Zojiroshi.
Japanese.
Zojiroshi.
Japanese.
It's Japanese. Dr. Wong does not give his pastor cheap bad stuff. He gave me something that is, what did you say, Joshua? At a different level. Okay? I see Freeman has a nice mug there. I think this mug is nicer than Freeman. I think this maybe is at another level.
Because I believe you're a pastor.
Yeah, that's right. Because I got a special mug. This is great. Okay, so this, according to Joshua and Milton, this group says it is dedicated for coffee. It's dedicated. Nothing else. And Joshua says it's at a different level. It cannot compare to other mugs. Right? Okay, good. Anybody else in the back group?
No?
Okay, you're on there. Okay, how about on the back there? Anything else to add to set apart?
Set apart from the world.
Okay, set apart from the world. Okay, how would we use that for this mug?
The rest of the...
Right. This is the best mug in all the world. Okay, I don't know. Okay. Okay, so it's set apart from the world means it's different from what? The world? Okay, so what do we mean by the world? We mean the people of the world. We mean people who are of sin. I don't know. Okay, let's just... Okay, unbelievers, different from unbelievers. Okay. Anything else to add in that group back there?
We talked about one of the setting aside, like the Levites are set aside.
Okay.
Service and...
Good. Okay, good. That kind of goes back to dedicated, right? This is a dedicated for a particular use. It's set aside not to be used for anything else. Okay, good. How about back table right here? Okay, same thing. That's okay. Anything else to add? Anything a little different? Okay, so set apart from sin, and now she's adding it's almost perfect, or did you say perfect? It's perfect. Wow, Dr. Wong gave me the perfect mug. Right? It is at another level. It is dedicated. It is set apart for only coffee. Okay? And now it's the perfect mug. Okay, great. Anything else to add from this table? Okay, she just pointed at you. No?
It's for God only.
Oh, okay. It's for God only.
Oh, okay. You are the servants of God, so you can only use
them. Okay, so if okay. So, okay. Well, I thought you said if we are the servants of God, then holy is it, we are only to be used for God? I don't know. So the question is, what do we use to describe holy then if it's set apart? Now, I used a mug just as a picture to help you have an idea, but really, what do we call holy? What do we call holy, guys?
Sinless.
Okay, no. What things do we call holy?
Oh, the Bible.
Okay, we said the Bible. Because right here on the spine, it says the Holy Bible. What do we call holy?
Related to God.
Okay, something related to God. Okay. Yes.
Can we see, well, we are the believer. Mm-hmm. Actually, we live in the God kingdom.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, the
okay.
God kingdom is still there.
Okay,
here.
Right.
It's not only
that's,
in the heaven.
Okay, that's right. God's kingdom, which is a holy kingdom, is not only heaven. I think that's very, this is a very big picture to understand. And God's holy kingdom is not only heaven. God's holy kingdom is already here. Jesus ushered in his kingdom here. And she says, can we say that we are part of God's holy kingdom here? Then the question is, we say the things of God are holy. Are we holy?
No. We're trying.
We're trying to be holy. That's a good question. Are we holy? There's a no. We are trying to be holy. What is the concept in at least the New Testament? When Paul is writing letters to the churches, and he says to the church of even Corinth, okay? Well, let's find where he uses that. Okay. So this is the church of Corinth. I just went to 2 Corinthians. When Paul writes a letter, he writes like, it's from me to you, okay? And Paul says, let me ask you a question first. What do you know about Corinth? Is Corinth a church of people that are very holy and pure and they act very good and they're following God's way? Or is the church of Corinth a bunch of Christians who are kind of having problems in their life? Which one? A or B?
B.
Okay. We all know the Corinthians were Christians that had a lot of problems in their life. And Paul's writing a letter to them, and he says, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, Paul, I'm writing to you, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints. All the saints. You, even though you are problem Christians, meaning you're not living exactly the way that God wants you to, you have some problems in your life, you're obviously not a perfect Christian. Paul even says you are a saint. Now, what's the root of that word saint? It comes from the word sanctify, right? Which means to be made what?
Holy.
I'm thinking also about 1 Peter. 1 Peter, you could turn to it if you want, just to make sure we kind of know what we're talking about here. And sometimes I need your help to find me something. But 1 Peter, let me think. 1 Peter. Okay, I think it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I need your help sometimes because I have pieces. 5, I'm thinking chapter 5. I'm thinking, am I holy? Thinking chapter 2. I think these numbers fly around in my mind. There, where are we?
Oh, you're right, it's chapter 2.
Chapter 2, where?
Oh, just the heading.
Oh, the heading, right.
Oh, verse 3.
Verse 3, thank you very much.
Oh, verse 5, sorry.
Verse 5, there you go. Okay, let's start from verse 4. As you come into him, okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come into Christ, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Okay? Like you are now in Jesus. Verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Okay? So there is a concept of holiness there. In, And it says that we are that holy people. You guys with me? I'm just digging, man. Verse 9 of chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
You are a chosen people, verse 9. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the question is, are we a holy people? Because we belong to God. Yes, we are. Okay, very good. So we are a holy people. It's great. You guys have said, what are the things that we call holy? We call holy the things of God. Yeah? Things dedicated to God. We call the Word of God holy. We now call the, as Linda says, because we're part of the holy kingdom of God, we are a holy people. What else do we call holy? Okay, we do this. Okay. What, I mean, think about this. This is like the $1 million answer right here. Who else do we call holy?
The priesthood.
Okay, keep okay. Come on, guys. It's a $1 million answer. It's a Sunday school answer. If you don't know what to say, who do you say? You say, well, we already said us. We already said us. Huh? Okay, God. No one said God yet, okay? God is holy. God is holy. That's actually what it says in 1 Peter, referring back to the Old Testament in Leviticus, be holy for I am holy. Because God is holy and set apart, you be holy and set apart. So when we think about holiness, a lot of times we're thinking about these concepts, and this is good. Okay, this is good. But I want to show you something, because we're in the book of Leviticus, something a little bit different. Okay? Because usually, even as you guys said here, most of us understand holy as morally pure and set apart. We are, as Dain said, to be different from the world. We're supposed to be morally pure. We are to be without sin. Yeah? Okay. Because God himself is without sin. And some people were saying there's these two concepts where I'm not going to get into it today. But are we ourselves trying to be holy, or has God already made us holy in a sense? Yeah? Because the scripture says without holiness, no one will see God. The only way we actually even know and have a relationship with God is because, like Linda said, we've already been brought into his kingdom here today, right? So there is a sense that he already made us holy because of Jesus. But there is another sense that, as 1 Peter says, and Leviticus, like, we are called to be holy, okay? So we have both of those concepts. But in these, we're still thinking this concept of morally pure. In Leviticus, because Leviticus is in the Old Testament, and it's written in what language? What language?
Hebrew.
In the Hebrew, the word is kadesh. Can you say kadesh?
Kadesh.
And which way do we read Hebrew? Do you guys remember? Left to right or right to left?
Right to left.
Okay, right to left, right? So it's this way. So this is your kaf, right? This is your dalet and your shin. So kadesh. Kadesh is the word for sacred and for holy. It appears 800 times in the Old Testament. As a noun, it means, very good, sacred, holy, apartness, and separatedness. So you guys already have the right idea. Holy is this separatedness. It has been set apart. It is different from everything else. It is sacred. Okay? So we have that. But as a verb, it means to separate from, okay, human infirmity or impurity and sin. Okay, so this is just basic. This is just kind of, I think, what we were talking about. You guys already have begun processing this in your mind. I just want to show you what that Hebrew word is, and it happens over and over again, and a lot of times it happens in threes. We see holy, holy, holy. Whenever we see repetition, we're going to see this in the sermon later today. Whenever we see something repeated, what does that mean? Yeah, pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. When your parents are repeating something to you, like, that's like, okay, pay attention to this. Listen up. This is really important. I'm saying it three times. So when was the priesthood called holy, holy, holy? Was the Bible called holy, holy, holy? Was the Dr. Wong mug that he gave to me called holy, holy, holy? What is holy, holy, holy? Three times used to describe.
In the book of Revelation.
Well, it's also in other books in the Old Testament. Who is it to be described? But that's the question. God. It's never used in the repetition of three times for anything else but God. Okay? Usually we have this picture of holy. All the definitions you guys gave as we were talking around has this idea of not having sin. Preston used the word impurities. When we talk about pure, it is an absence of impurities, right? We've been talking about not being worldliness, right? Not having sin, not having morally bad. But I want to bring you to this definition from Charles Ryrie. He says, usually, holiness of God is defined negatively. That's how we're thinking, right? And in relation to a relative, not obscure standard, holiness in the Bible means separation from all that is common or unclean. In respect to God, holiness means not only that he is separate from everything unclean, but also that he is positively pure. You guys get that? And thus distinct from all others. God is not just holy without sin. God is so positively full of purity. Okay, do you guys understand that? Do you see? It's not just without. It's full of goodness. It's full of purity. He's so positive of that. And the example is like health. When you are unhealthy, it means that something bad has happened to you. When you are healthy, it does not only mean you have the bad stuff out of you, but when you are healthy, it means you have a lot of good going on in your body. Right, Dr. Wong? Okay, Dr. Wong says yes. He's going to say yes. Okay, thanks, Tim. All right? And so in that way, we can understand God's holiness. It's not just a negative absence of sin. It's a total positive fullness of all that is good and pure. Okay? So that's kind of a good way to act. But in this definition, is that what we're talking about when we're reading about holiness in Leviticus? Okay? For up to now, we've been talking about holiness as morally pure. But what do we see in Leviticus? What's the reason why we don't want to read Leviticus? It's because it's full of laws. And full of what?
Rituals.
It's full of sacrifices. It's full of the procedures of offering. That's why we're like, why do I need to read this? This is so boring. And so in Leviticus, we don't really see the picture of moral purity. We see the picture of ritual purity. Okay? You have to do things exactly to the way God told you. Where you cut the animal, where you put the blood, when you kill the animal, when you sprinkle the blood, what type of animal you use, what type of animal you don't use. All these things are very, very big in Leviticus. And so a big part of understanding Leviticus is that God is using, and why would the Jewish kids not be told to read Genesis first, but to read Leviticus first? Because Leviticus is important to the people of God under the Joye, the old covenant. And God's holiness had to do with the ritual purity, these specific laws to his people. Okay, we're going to look at that here in a second. Okay. Remember when we looked at, this is Leviticus chapter 1. And when you turn the page back, this is Exodus, the last, you know, section of the book of Exodus. And what I said was that, what's the Chinese title for Leviticus again? Li Wei Ji, okay. In English, it's called Leviticus, which means having to do with the Levites. Who are the Levites? The, come on, people.
Priesthood.
That's the English name. That's also the Chinese name. That was also the name given to the Greek Bible, in the which is called the Septuagint, the LXX, right? That is the title. But the Hebrew Bible, do you guys remember what the Hebrew Bible title of Leviticus is? You guys remember? The title of the Hebrew Bible for Leviticus does not say Leviticus. It says, "And he called." It's the first three words of Leviticus, because Leviticus is a continuation of Exodus. Okay, what was happening in Exodus? Come on, this is easy. What happened in Exodus? What's the major event in Exodus?
They left Egypt. Yes.
That's right. How did they leave Egypt? God delivered them out of slavery and led them out of Egypt. Okay. Did they know how to worship God in that time? They were in slavery, right? Before that, they became a very large number of people. The promise was made to Abraham, and then, right, his children, right, the fathers of Israel. And then they became so numerous that they became slaves in Egypt. And in Exodus, they were freed from being slaves and now being brought out. Did they know how to worship God yet? Ooh, this is interesting, right? And now God is saying, the Lord called Moses and he spoke to him. Now, these are the things that you guys saw when we studied this the first 2 weeks. You guys saw, you asked, what is the tent of meeting? What is the tabernacle? And I told you the easy answer is they are one and the same. Okay? I'll show you a picture in a little bit. It looked like this. That's the tabernacle. But before, it was just a tent. How do you say tent in Chinese? I like that word. I forgot how you say it. Zangpong. Okay, it's just a simple tent. One that we used when we went to Joshua's house for backyard camping. Very simple tent. whether it's a tent of meeting or the tabernacle that was supposed to be built in Exodus and the end of Exodus, God is telling Moses, you have to build the tabernacle this way. Everything has to be by my instructions. And when God came to dwell among the people, he came to dwell where? In the tent, in the tabernacle. It says, then the cloud, right? It came in the form of a cloud by day, and what by night? Fire, a pillar. You would see this large, like, pillar of smoke, of cloud, or the fire by night. That is the glory of the Lord filling it. Okay? And then in the very first sentence of Leviticus, after the tabernacle has been built, the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, which is a tabernacle. Okay? You have this picture now of God's presence coming to dwell among his people. Okay? Everything in the book of Leviticus is about keeping the ritual, not the moral purity, the ritual purity to enjoy the presence and the blessing of God. In these verses here, you can just take a picture. We don't have time to read it today. These are all passages that talk about the presence of God dwelling among his people. Okay. But the book of Leviticus is God saying, you have to follow these things, A, B, C, D, E, or alphabet, gimel, dollar, hey, Bob, Zani, I tell you. Okay, you have to follow these things so specifically so that my presence you can enjoy. Okay, is that my class time? Is it okay? Okay. This is from some scholars, Hill and Walton. They say one important outcome of the covenant, this is a Joe, this is the old covenant between God, Yahweh, and his people, was God would give his presence to be with them on their journey. Okay? And although this mysterious presence was made revealed, you could see it in a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire, the essential idea of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is the Lord dwelling in the midst of his people. God's presence is now here with his people as part of the old covenant promise. Okay? And this structure that was built, you could see it here. You could read about it in Exodus chapter 25 through 40. For nearly 15 chapters in Exodus, God is saying you have to build this a certain way. Like, for instance, one of these layers, do you see there's 9, 10, 11, 12. Even the roof, 9, 10, 11, 12, has four layers. One of the layers has to be skin. Another layer has to be a different type of skin. Another layer has to be goat hair. Okay? Like, that's a lot of killing of animals to make this perfect. And when it is done, the big party of Exodus is not just that God delivered his people out of Egypt. But at the end of Exodus, God was teaching them how to worship him. If you make this tabernacle holy, if you dedicate it to me, if you don't use it for anything else, and you do it exactly the way, then my presence you will enjoy. I will be there with you. You will enjoy my presence. Some of the passages in Exodus, though, when God's presence first came down, Do you remember? When they were at Mount Sinai and God was going to bring his presence down, God told Moses, all of you can come up into this cloud, which is kind of like the trail of my presence. Okay, you can come up. And in Exodus, you can see the people are like, no. This is too scary. Like, this is God's presence. No, we're not going there. You go, Moses. You go. We're not going there. So even though God is saying you will enjoy my presence, it's even hard for the people because they have such a reverence and a fear of God. Yeah. We think of the golden calf. Remember when Moses was up in the presence of God, or you know, up in the trail of the presence of God and getting the Ten Commandments, right? And Moses came down, his face was shining, right? Because he saw the trail of God, like not even God's face, is it right? And the people we think are really bad because they, what do? They made what?
Idols.
They made an idol out of what?
Golden
gold. And they made it in the shape of a cow. Was that because they wanted to make an idol? Was it? Or was it that they didn't know how to worship God?
They thought that's what God looked like.
Okay. Did they? I don't know.
Unfaithful.
What does that say? Right. The whole picture of Exodus going into Leviticus is now God saying, under this old covenant, which is all the way up to Jesus, because Jesus brought, Linda said, the kingdom now is here. Before, all this part of your Bible, that's the old covenant. And under the old covenant, God says, I'm going to teach you how to keep my presence with you. Yeah? And so, we can't read Leviticus like we do today. Because today, after the tabernacle, where God's presence was, what came after the tabernacle? They wandered around. The tabernacle was like a tent you could still set up. Because they traveled around for how many years?
40
years, right? But when they finally settled in the promised land, under King who? Which king finally was able to build the temple to the Lord?
Solomon.
And God's presence was in the temple, right? It used to be God's presence was in the tabernacle, then God's presence was in the temple. That's all still Old Testament. It was only until the New Testament that this curtain right here, where God's Holy of Holies is, was what? Torn. And in the letters we see to the New Testament Christians, that's us, we no longer see worship in the temple, do we? Worship no longer is in the temple. God's presence is not only in the building, the temple. Rather, what does the New Testament say is the temple of God? Our bodies. How does God dwell in his people today? Through the Holy Spirit in the temple. God's presence now is always with us. See, we're going to hit on this idea, but next week we're going to actually read through Leviticus and we're going to look at all of this impurity, uncleanness, all these things to show us that's how they had to keep the presence of God. Today we're so spoiled because Jesus did all the work for us. And today we don't have to go to the temple to find the presence of God. Today, because of Jesus, the presence of God dwells in his people, the temple, right? That's why the scripture says, keep your body, the temple of God, pure, right? Your body is the temple of God. That's where the presence of the Holy Spirit dwells. That's why things like junky movies, junky books, junky social media, junky pornography, junky, all that stuff, that's not good for the temple where the Spirit resides. Yeah? But even then, we're so spoiled and fortunate because there's forgiveness and there's already a cleansing over us. For all of our mistakes, for all of our imperfections, that's why we can say we can try to grow in holiness, but we are already holy. Because God's presence wouldn't even dwell in us if we were not already made holy through Christ. Yeah? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for bringing us into your word. There seems to be so much richness in the study of holiness in a book that we would not go to read on our own. And I know my brothers and sisters, if they were reading the devotionals, like Bex and I have been talking about, sometimes it is quite hard to read through Leviticus. But if we understand Leviticus through the lens of understanding your holiness, and we then can fast forward today to all that we have been given, that your presence is with us all day, because of Christ Jesus, because we are in your holy kingdom today, right now, we can give you thanks. And we thank you that even though we find ourselves sometimes thinking thoughts that are impure, doing things that are not pure, doing things that are not pleasing to God, we thank you because we also have the forgiveness of Christ, the standing before God that we have because of the grace of God through Jesus. These are the reasons why we have to be a thankful people. These are the reasons why we want to follow you more. These are the reasons why we want to grow in our faith and be a holy people, because we realize that you have set us apart because you are set apart. And just like we use the picture of Tim's mug that he gifted to me was dedicated for certain use only, I pray that you would realize that the reason why you saved us was that we can be dedicated for a certain use only, that we can be used for God and for your kingdom. We don't want to be used for anything else. So Father, thank you so much for your word and for the study this morning. Please continue to put in our hearts a desire to worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.